The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to K4 Wins. Casekeeper right below me is the executive director, chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun, Kai Gregory. Done handicapping for over 30 years. Fantastic at his craft on both sides. And Kip Kiefer, the executive director of the Birmingham Race Course Casino, which, by the way, you can join us every Tuesday night, 5 until whenever. You'll have some free play, stuff like that, at the Birmingham Race Course and Casino. We do that every Tuesday night. Of course, also, he is a co-host along with myself for our big show, The Starting Lineup, which is going to be going on tomorrow morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock on ABC 3340. And Alex Mortensen will join
that?
The show
the
tomorrow.
Coach in America now.
He really
undefeated.
Is. He is fantastic. And we've gotten a chance to actually meet him before we do the show tomorrow. And a super nice guy and really, really happy for him to have the opportunity not only to start his career off at UAB with a win like that. And yes, his dad is Chris Mortensen, the late great. So just a really remarkable guy.
Sorely missed. Yeah. Outstanding NFL reporter for ESPN for many, many years.
Yeah. We are watching the television right now, and I'm seeing Stephen A. Smith, who is doing First Take, and they're at Legion Field. They just went through the Iron Bowl, Alabama 26-15-1 with the 40 Iron Bowls there at Legion Field. And then, of course, Cam Newton sitting to his left. So it's kind of interesting to see Cam Newton back there at Legion Field. But before we start, I wanted to ask about the Magic City Classic case. Is there a line on that? I know there's always a number on Alabama State and A&M. And if there is, I know a lot of people like to put some money on it. Do you have a line on that? And do you have any takes on that since I'm sitting here? It's fresh on my mind.
I'm glad you gave me a lot of details because I had no idea where you were going.
That's exactly why I kept talking. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I see FanDuel has it up. Alabama State, a 10.5-point favorite.
Okay. All right.
I don't really know. I haven't followed FCS since the first couple weeks, to be honest. I know some of the top teams, but total 60.5. No opinion from me, but
sounds a little high. Yeah. But it's always a really nice thing for the Birmingham area, and I think it does like $13 million worth of business. And I was actually at the Winfrey last night with my son. We were grabbing some quick dinner down there, and that's where all the players and the bands are staying. It was crazy. The Galleria was rocking last night. It was a lot of fun, and they had all kinds of kiosks, and they were selling all their stuff. So it was super fun. So welcome to town.
I'd say about this, if that's an edge, like under 60.5, I would just say, I know I'm usually the guy that's like the market. I will lay down to the market and say someone's smarter than me and trust the numbers. But these FCS numbers will move like 8 to 10 points because I really don't think anyone, I think they're kind of just blindly guessing when they post a number. So I wouldn't have any hesitation if you feel strongly about that. I'd also say, we're kind of sister cities this week, I guess, because in Vegas we have Grambling State and Jackson State playing at the Legion Stadium. So. Yeah. Yeah, two big games in Birmingham and Las Vegas.
HBCU weekend for sure, so check it out. First game of the World Series, 26, Dodgers, Blue Jays later on tonight. A close game there. We'll get into that as snow goes against Yesvidge. And also, of course, we have the NBA the full week there, and we'll get into some of the gambling scambles going on there in just a few
seconds. Let's bet some props.
Yeah, let's bet some props, man. Someone puts $250,000 on over-under 4.5 catches in a game. Game chances are something's wrong. Let's start there. Case, you're right there in Las Vegas. And obviously, that has been the big story of the week. A couple of arrests, including Chauncey Billups and Rozier, and obviously not a good look for the NBA, particularly since it is the first week of the NBA season. But what are they saying out in Las Vegas about what's going on?
Oh, man, I could talk the whole show about this. I don't know. I'll try to be succinct, but man, it was what a crazy story yesterday. And usually I try to know what's going on with this stuff and just forget about it. But this was so insane that I just kept reading about it, kept listening to stuff yesterday. I will say, obviously, sports betting are taking the headlines. I don't know how much you guys have looked into it, but the poker part of the story.
Yeah, Case is way accomplished poker. You won't say it, but I will. Case is very knowledgeable and a very accomplished poker player as well. So this is hit on both fronts for him.
Yeah, years back, I haven't played as much lately. And the crazy part, I think ESPN even picked this up. Someone told me this was kind of well known in poker circles. It's funny how it's all out there in the open. There was a well-known player, Matt Berkey, who they pulled a podcast from 2021, and he was talking about how he got invited to this private game where Chauncey Billups, like the face man, and he just knew it was crooked. He knew everyone was getting ripped off, but he said his friends were telling, no, it's good. Then all the pros went and absolutely got crushed by these whale guys that should have no chance. And this is from 4 years ago. He's detailing it on a podcast. So it was all kind of out there. I mean, the poker part of the story is just insane.
And they're, honestly, they're talking tens of millions of dollars, right? We're talking big time money here.
Yeah, I believe one of the depositions, they said there was one guy that lost $7 million on his own. Now, across many games, I think there were games.
Feed me a little bit here, because I know, Kai, you love to play poker, and I like to play a weekend game once in a while. But how are you fixing poker games? How are they fixing games? How does that go down? Chauncey was one of these things where he was bringing in these big-time people into these rooms, and, of course, all these guys who play this for a living were losing their ass. How, in fact, can you turn a game? Is it the deck? Is the shot? What is it?
It was everything in this case. I mean, it literally sounds like something out of a spy book if you read the deposition, what they're saying. So part of it is that they robbed someone at gunpoint for an automatic card shuffler that stacks the deck. They had an x-ray table that was worth like six figures where they could x-ray and read your cards. They had someone back at a command center they called the quarterback that would somehow, it was unclear how they did it, but they would relay the information to, and they didn't name who it was, but it sounds like it might have been Chauncey Billups or one of these other guys. They would relay that they knew what cards everyone had, and they would relay the information to the guys that were supposed to win. It was a big mob operation. It's crazy that the mafia.
The mafia. Like, I thought that was dead. I thought that was over.
Crime family.
I know. I thought that was over, man. That they're back.
The Gambinos, the Lucchese's.
It's all from the 80s. So I don't know. The poker thing, it shed way more new light on. I would say, even though I said, you know, that there were poker pros that were suspicious of this and knew this was going on and said it was not on the up and up. The sports betting stuff, of course, a huge black eye. I still have a lot of questions about it. I mean, to me, it's very interesting the timing, for one thing, I think Kip kind of referenced it, is just ridiculous. They had this ready 10 days ago. Everything has to be a TV show. So they wait until the game started. I've read so many lawyer statements over the years, you know, being in this industry. And I got to say, Terry Rozier's was one of the best ones I've ever read. He said, and to kind of summarize, he said, we've been working fully with them for 2 years. We said we'd do anything. They kept telling us, you're not a suspect. So they just had to have their perp walk, their photo op. We would have gladly turned ourselves in. He said it's total BS. I don't know. I'm sure there's something there. It is interesting to me, though, that the NBA, this was part of it's all tied into the Jontay Porter thing. The NBA investigated both on. They threw the book at Jontay Porter. I mean, banned for life. He was out, and they cleared Rozier. So I'm very surprised the Rozier part. Also, it didn't look great in the press conference when whoever was speaking didn't. He's been working diligently on this for 5 years or whatever, but didn't know how to pronounce Terry Rozier's name. Terry Rozier. Yeah. I referred to them as the Toronto Rangers.
I heard the Toronto Rangers too. Yeah, they're real experts on sports.
The NBA stuff. I'm trying to keep a little bit more of an open mind. I think there's going to be some things to hear otherwise. I mean, it does seem like Rozier was an idiot to get wrapped up in any of this. I mean, he's made $100 million in his career. Yeah. And it sounds like maybe made like a couple hundred thousand for this. And I'd say, sorry, I could talk about every little angle of this. I think the big talk around here that everyone's surprised is, how did they get this much money down on these props? Because it's impossible to get that much money down, unless you have like a VIP account, if you're a whale that just loses a ton of money and they'll take anything. So I guess a crime family, yeah, you can probably get your hands on a couple of those, but still 200,000 is crazy. There's a lot of speculation that maybe it was same game parlays where people were just tying together unders on like all these, and then you only have to bet a little to make a lot. But I think the sheer number figures is what people in the industry are really taken aback from. And just saying, like, if I tried to bet a prop right now most of these major sports books, they would tell me I could bet like $22. So how do you get down 200,000? It's just wild.
Yeah. And I thought that was interesting too. And then the fact that, you know, obviously I've been looking at this for a long period of time, and they, Vegas knows. I mean, there was a baseball thing that happened earlier this season where, you know, with, and obviously earlier in the season, collegiately speaking, with the University of Alabama, when you see a lot of money coming in on something that just doesn't seem right, like over unders on rebounds or something for a player in a European 10 league and someone wants to put $500,000 on it, something's going on. But they were all playing the unders. And obviously the reason they're playing the unders is because those players could tell, hey, listen, I'm going to be out in the middle of the third quarter. I'm going to get injured in the third quarter. I'm not possibly going to be making this this novelty bet. So I thought that was very, very interesting. But keep us posted on that. And as long as there's gambling, there's going to be cheating. It is what it is. Let's jump into some SEC football real quick. And I'm watching one game that seems like it's been bouncing around. If I'm an Auburn fan, I'm not feeling too good about my Auburn Tigers, who opened up a 1.5-point favorite on the road against Arkansas, who's looking for a coach. And that line's moved 4 points now. Arkansas giving up 2.5. You were jumping on Arkansas early on this, weren't you, Case?
Yeah, Arkansas is one of my bigger bets at +1.5. There's so much sports going on, and I got sidetracked by that case yesterday. I really haven't even kept up with the college football board. So that was the first thing I'd heard this line move that much. But yeah, you're right. It's 2.5 across the board here. I like to see it. I think numbers wise now, it's probably a little too high on Arkansas, but I'll go back to what I said Tuesday. Not usually how I handicap, but just vibes wise, how much better do things feel at Arkansas right now than Auburn? So in an already close game, that's probably worth something.
Kip, what's your thoughts? I know you're a big SEC guy, man. What's your thoughts on the Auburn Tigers? We talked about it yesterday.
Well, I think you mentioned one of these teams is looking for a coach. Auburn will be looking for a coach if they lose their fifth consecutive game. This is it for Hugh Freeze.
Is this midseason? Will there be a midseason firing, or will they?
No. They'll stick around. They'll keep him for the rest of the year. Okay. But he's going to be out. The boys in the back room are not going to put up with and remember, you kind of told us this was coming. Remember before the season? Well, we just got to make a bowl game. Geez, you would have set the target high. We got to win 6. Yep. So this will put them in jeopardy on that score with games with Alabama still to go. And I'm not sure I've looked at the rest of their schedule, but or don't remember it right off the bat. But this is a game where you've got a team like Arkansas that has played real close to two superior opponents in the last week, only lost by 3 points. Although the cover last week, which I benefited from, happened with a touchdown with 9 seconds left to get it back, baby, under the spread. So I will count my lucky stars on that one. But Arkansas certainly has a potent offense. Auburn does not. Auburn does not have any continuity whatsoever from game to game. It's like Forrest Gump. You never know what you're going to get. People have assumed, I hear several people say this week, well, Auburn's got a good defense. Do they really? They can never stop anybody when the game's on the line. They had a 17-10 lead on Missouri with 4 minutes left the other night and managed to give that away. So it's just a team in tatters. My friend Chip Lake, I told you guys last week, says ever since they've hired Hugh, the entire village of Auburn has been infected with voodoo. Every week it's something different. So I think this is a referendum for both these coaches. Petrino has done the thing to make his team competitive, but now he's got to get an SEC win in the column. I think whichever coach loses this game is not going to have his job when next season starts.
Guy, better shot at happening. Lane Kiffin coaching Auburn next year, or AJ McCarron becoming a lieutenant governor?
Neither.
Yeah. No, obviously it looks like there's going to be a change there. And I know of Terry, my good friend, who was running back there for the Auburn Tigers. He basically put everything in he had in his banking account on the fact that Lane Kiffin was going to be the next head coach for the Auburn Tigers before they ended up giving it to Hugh Freeze, because he shot them down. You have to always take in mind that if you're going to fire somebody, who are you going to bring in next? What kind of job is Auburn right now, Kai?
That's a great question that I think you get different answers from different people. But I think right now, I mean, it's a dumpster fire, and it has been for a while. Kiffin would absolutely go to Florida way before he would go
absolutely.
To Auburn. From what I've heard from a lot of people, Florida's going to go all in on Kiffin, and then Golish is the top two. The another real question is, where the hell is James Franklin going to end up? Because you all these coaching searches that you're hearing about, and I don't hear anybody saying James Franklin's name anywhere.
Someone's fixing
the one I really liked. Yep. I don't know if there's any fire here, but if Beamer doesn't leave, I think James Franklin would match well at Virginia Tech.
Yeah, that would be, that makes sense. And I also think there might be a change at Kentucky. That would be a nice in the SEC place where no expectations. Don't be surprised to see him become a candidate if they do the right thing and finally get rid of horrendous Mark Stoops.
Yeah, he could then literally coach at the two suckiest teams in the history of the SEC, mm-hmm. from Vandy to Kentucky.
No doubt. What does that
would be quite an accomplishment in your career.
I had actually heard, I don't know, you know, this is all speculation, but I had heard Stoops is unlikely to be out. Just the buyout is so high and they're spending so much on basketball. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, basketball season cannot start quick enough there in the Commonwealth for sure. The other team that obviously, go ahead. What you got?
I was going to say Stoops' record now as of today in the SEC. He's doing a great job turning around Kentucky with his 28-67 SEC record at Kentucky. Pretty good.
It's amazing that he's gotten 90 games in there. That should tell you something right there.
He's been there for 14 years.
It's hard to believe. Yeah, that was supposed to be a job that he was going to have to quit. Obviously, Texas
A&M tried to had him hired. He was getting ready to fly to College Station a couple of years ago after the Jimbo thing, and the Texas A&M fans almost burned down the village and said, no, we don't want that loser. And so then he stated, oh, I've changed my mind. I'm staying at Kentucky.
Well, it's nice to know that Shane Beamer feels the same way about South Carolina. They're 3-4. And he's like, listen, I'm staying right here. I'm not interested in the Vo-Tech job. I'm like, dude, you should be interested in any job that comes your way right now. They've got Alabama this weekend. It's a very interesting game because, Kip, you always say, man, if you can get an SEC squad plus double digits at home, you take it every single time, and you're getting South Carolina plus 11.5. It's down from 13.5. You still feel that way? You think it's going to be close this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, just basically, philosophically, double-digit home dogs are pretty attractive. South Carolina defense is not very good, and we knew they weren't going to be good. They lost too many guys off last year's defense.
Well, some of us knew it, Kip. Some of us knew it. Some people here need South Carolina to win 4 out of their last 5 to hit their over 6.5 before the season and maybe win out in order to get to the playoffs. Some of us.
Yeah.
Who would that be?
I didn't
take over 6.5, and it's not me.
Same partner of mine that took Clemson with me to make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I did do.
Yeah, it has not been a good state of South Carolina summer for Tony. But the bottom line with South Carolina is Lenora Sellers and the offense really aren't producing that much either. But they're still capable of playing some pretty competitive games. They were in the Missouri game till late. They played LSU tough in Baton Rouge 2 weeks ago, only lost that game 20-10. But right now, the vibe at South Carolina is not very good. It's but horrible. Again, you got to look at Alabama the last 4 games, and they're getting unbelievable amounts of credit for this. Alabama fans are calling, they've run the gauntlet lately. Yeah, the Georgia game was a huge win on the road, but Vanderbilt, without two critical Pavia turnovers in the red zone that really kind of turned that game, they had to have struggled to win at Missouri and got by with a field goal. You know, they haven't like been overwhelming teams. So, you know, is Alabama deserving to be almost a 12-point favorite in that game? I'm not so sure. If I had to play it, I certainly wouldn't surrender and take Alabama and surrender double digit points. I just have the feeling that this is South Carolina kind of at OK Corral and it's do or die here. They have very little chance. They have no matter what Shane Beamer says, they have no chance to make the playoffs. But on the other hand, they can still salvage a decent second half of the season. And they came on strong last year. Lenora Sellers has to show up and they have to score more points. But I couldn't surrender that many points with Alabama.
I'd have to take
You're
at least
talking
14,
about a team, though. You know, South Carolina's given up 22 sacks on the year. They're going to be missing their left tackle, Henry, in this game as well, who's huge for Nexton Sellers. And Sellers has only gone for over 200 yards in one game passing, and that was against Vandy. And he threw most of those yards in the second half. There's no way I don't lay this point.
I think he's banged up too. I think something's not right with Lenora Sellers. He does not look right because he's not running the football like he did last year either. Case, what's your thoughts on Alabama giving up the 11.5 coming down? I think that 14 number obviously is a huge number for a lot of people. It's not going to get up there. It was at 13.5. I know you probably get it early.
I didn't bet it, actually. I'm hard to disagree with all they're saying. I think you guys got it right. I wish I remember the stat I saw now. I should have saved it for the show. But Yeah, I saw something. There was some stat that painted South Carolina's offensive futility, and it really stopped me on my tracks. I didn't realize they'd been that bad offensively. They can't really move the ball either. I even looked while you guys were talking, as this was one of those games where I didn't even remember who I picked in my column. I actually made it exactly 12 and a half. So early in the week, I made it a guess, South Carolina plus 13 and a half. Now in Vegas, at least it's all 11 and a half or 12. So if I had to guess right now, I might be more on the Bama side. I mean, Alabama, I do think they're overachieving a little bit, but I do also think there's something to be said for, like Kip has said, giving Ty Simpson a lot of credit. And I'm sorry, I don't know I don't know what the approval rating is in Alabama right now, but this is just kind of like a Kalen DeBoer team. Not only do they have a good quarterback, they're very well coached. This is what this guy's done at every stop. He overachieves a little bit. They win the close games. So I think it's a well-coached team, a team that does a lot of little things well, that gives them some extra value. But I'm certainly not rushing out to bet minus 11 and a half, or I mean, it'd probably have to get 10 to make me interested.
And they have to run the ball better. They were pathetic in the Tennessee game. What did they have? Jam Miller had like 17 yards. They're not running the ball with what's supposed to be a dominant offensive line. And if they want to go to the promised land, they better get that fixed, because completely relying on Ty Simpson without a running game, that's tough to win when you start getting into the upper levels of competition. I don't know. To me, the jury's still out on Alabama. I think they're doing some good things, and like Case said, the key these days to get the W, you don't get any style points, especially with these committees. We don't put much emphasis on strength of schedule and the like. It seems like it's wins and losses. So get the W and move on. I'm sure they're going to do that on Saturday, but I'm just not so sure they're going to cover double digits.
Yeah, but I'm going to go beyond saying the jury's still out. We're more than two thirds of the way through the season. They just knocked off four top 25 teams. I think Alabama's that good. It's why right there near the top, Ohio State, obviously the shortest odds to win a national title. Alabama's number two, Indiana's number three, Notre Dame's number four. Of all the teams to pick, but they would be number
these
two.
These are rankings, yeah. Tony. I'm not going to have this discussion again, but these are rankings. These are not real numbers.
I understand that, but I'm just saying that the shortest odds. So this is the numbers for right now. And so, you know, but I guess it's usually right about
it. I mean, let me ask you guys a question. Let me throw out a topic here. If Florida had Ohio State's schedule right now, what would their record be? And would Sunbelt Billy still be employed?
They wouldn't be undefeated.
They would be 6-1. They both beat Texas, fellas. That's the big win for Ohio State. Who else is Ohio State beat?
I was gonna say 5-2. I don't think they win at Washington.
Yeah, well, I decided that either Washington or perhaps Illinois could have been a possible loss, but 5-2 at worst. So that just I was looking for a way to make my point, and that's kind of the crystal way to do it. And the murderer's row that's left for Ohio State: Penn State, Purdue, UCLA, Rutgers, and Michigan.
Yeah. What would Ohio State's record be if they had Florida scheduled?
They would have two or three losses.
No, they wouldn't.
No, they wouldn't.
Oh, they wouldn't win. They wouldn't win at Miami, Kai.
Two or three losses.
I think they'd have one loss.
No. I don't think they have two or three. Maybe yeah. One, and I think it'd be a good game.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that you can't deny, and I know I'm a broken record on the schedule and who you've played, but if you look at Florida's schedule compared to Ohio State's, it's night and day.
All right, let's run around the horn here. Let's get some plays here. We've got Ole Miss, Oklahoma, 5.5, Indiana, 25.5, South Florida, Memphis, interesting game. That's gone from 3.5 to 5.5. We'd mentioned the Auburn, Arkansas line. Mizzou at Vandy, a pair of 6-1 teams. Vandy giving up 3. It's down to 2.5. Texas giving up 7. Mississippi State, A&M, 2.5. I know. We'll start with you, Kip. I know that's one of your plays there in the starting lineup. You like that A&M team to go down to the LSU Bayou Bengal Tigers on a Saturday night, catching 2.5, Brian Kelly and his crew. Go.
Nothing sacred if the LSU Tigers can't come through in Baton Rouge on a Saturday night. On paper, A&M has got certainly every right to be a 2.5 or 3-point favorite here. I just think it's too cut and dried. You can't be too excited if you're an A&M fan to give up 42 to Arkansas last week and only win by 3. LSU's back's against the wall here. This was a team that was supposed to be ultra talented. They can't run the ball either. Their defense is has actually been greatly improved under Blake Baker. I just think if they're ever going to rise up and play a game, this is the spot. And I've to be on top of my other prediction where I said, I believe going into the season that every SEC team would probably have two losses at season's ends. It's just too tough of a lineup of games. I just from a numbers standpoint, I'm probably the antithesis of how people figure games these days. I'm just going by common sense here. I just feel like this is a spot where Texas A&M always has looked like this was going to be a big hurdle. And as disappointing as LSU has been, I think this is the where they make their stand and somehow, some way come out with a win in Baton Rouge.
Who else you like? Let's go ahead and give us some of your best plays, Kip, because I know you got a bunch of them here, and we did our bankroll contest, but who are some other games you like in for this weekend?
I'm not turning flips in terms of my list, but I mentioned on Tuesday when we did the show that I think BYU's got a tough spot at Iowa State here. I know that line is pretty close to, I don't know what the current one is. Was 2.5 the last time I looked, but that's an interesting one. The game that intrigues me the most, and I'm really anxious to hear your guys' opinion on it, is Ole Miss and Oklahoma. We had some disagreements amongst our team of people on which way to go there. I know Legend is on our show, and he thinks Ole Miss is going to waltz in Norman. I'm just not so sure. I think Oklahoma's defense is really solid, and Mateer should be better now with another week to heal up. This game is really intriguing to me, but I got to think Ole Miss is a little dispirited after letting that one get away in Athens and having to go right back on the road. I'm leaning Oklahoma here. I like the Sooners, and I'd be interested to hear what you guys think about it. Vanderbilt, Missouri. I just don't think Missouri is legitimate. Vanderbilt was, if they play as impressively as they did against LSU, I like Vandy in that game. So I'm kind of SEC centric here, but that's where more of my expertise is. I haven't done very well out of conference. So I don't know. Those are the initial thoughts that I have. I guess I need to put my glasses on because I can't see anything.
we'll come back around to you.
My last one, I said it the other day. I think Louisville's just going to destroy Boston College. I think Louisville is a growing power, and I really like Louisville to be a force and maybe even make the playoffs from the ACC. They had the one bad loss to Virginia, man, where they gave up a couple of defensive touchdowns.
And both you and I were on that game too, and I cannot believe they were giving up 7 points that ball game. And I love that. I'd still play that game, and I could not figure out how they look so good this past week and look so bad against Virginia. But I think they're coming.
Two defensive touchdowns will kill you.
Yeah, no doubt. Kai, Tennessee giving up 9.5 at Kentucky at the Commonwealth. Let's start there because that's your team, and then give us some of your best plays.
I worry a little bit about Aguilar's health. That hit he took against Alabama, he has not practiced 2 days this week. That may not be common knowledge. He's not listed on the injury report, but you know, one good hit, one good turn wrong, and you're going to have Merklinger there. It's very interesting as a Tennessee fan to know that all of the home games have been early and all the road games have been at night for Tennessee. And one of the hardest things to do in football, especially in the SEC, is win on the road at night, even though it's going to Kentucky. Kentucky may, you know, still step up and play for Stoops. It's a game that I'm not going to even come close to thinking about touching, more than likely. Just hope that that Tennessee wins. A lot of games I love. I'm getting back. I've gotten away from myself from team totals and things like that this year, and I'm getting back into that for real. I'm liking Indiana, especially if Nico's not playing. I have not seen the latest injury report from today. I know he's listed, you know, Friday nights. You got to love North Texas tonight. And I kind of like Boise in the situation they're in and their team totals. The overreaction Saturday coming up tomorrow. Byron Brown, South Florida, is probably one of the hottest quarterbacks in the country, the way he's been playing the last 4 or 5 games. Really like that game to go over. It's funny because my play for on the starting lineup, I think, was over 60. Yep. And that total's come down to 57 in Memphis and South Florida. You know, it's also going to depend on what the injury update with Brandon Lewis is from Memphis. Cause I think, it could good kid. I do want to hear someone's reaction here to, we talked about it a little bit, but the alma mater game, Kansas State and Kansas. I love the over in that game. I think UConn over their team total against Rice is pretty good. I do think Alabama, I personally think Alabama's going to win by at least 17 this weekend. Another one that I really, really like is looking at this TCU game. They've given up over 20 points every single game. And I think team they're playing, team total is 20.5. So
West Virginia,
19.5 against West Virginia.
Who's terrible, but at home, they beat Pitt earlier, who's a pretty good team. Right.
They've lost their quarterback.
They're going to win. I'm just saying they're going to score 20 points.
Yeah, there you go.
Their quarterback's out, Case?
Yeah, he left. He got hurt and then went to see another opinion and then didn't return to the team. I bet TCU minus 14, but it's 17 now. So maybe West Virginia's I feel bad actually for West Virginia's. I think early in the year, you were like, wow, Rich Rodriguez brought in an entirely different roster and they looked pretty good, but that Nico Marshall guy left. And I think they had two really good running backs. One got hurt and now they just look dreadful.
Yeah. Case, continue with your plays, man, since you already given us a couple of them. What else you got?
I love Oklahoma in that game. Since we're, I was calling it up while Kip was talking about it. Since we're so warm to stats on the show, these are all the advanced numbers I use, which we can't adjust for opponent. It's not the 1970s anymore. We have pretty good technology. Oklahoma is like number one across the board in just so many categories. I don't think Ole Miss has seen a defense anything like this. I know people say, well, they played Georgia last week. I don't think Georgia's defense is on the level of Oklahoma's. Not this year. And Lane Kiffin teams year after year just don't, it's to me seems like they don't handle well after losing. They're a team that are kind of front runners to me. So situationally, I like Oklahoma too. I laid 4.5. It was one of my bigger bets this week. It's now 5.5. That's still fine to me. In the SEC, that's a game that really jumps out. I like Oklahoma there. I think I agree with mostly all the ones you guys talked about. It was really small in the LSU Texas A&M game. I just think you have to get three. I took some plus three at reduced juice. There's still a couple threes out there. I was a little alarmed at what I saw from Texas A&M last week, and just spot wise, it does kind of scream LSU. I think Texas A&M. I mean, we've seen their defense look great one week and terrible another. I still think you go into the year, it didn't seem like they had the talent level where they're going to be like this dominating. Great defense. So maybe we saw some regression starting last week and it'll come. And I still just don't fully trust Marcel Reed. He's been very good. I can't really take anything away from what he's done.
And Moss is out, right?
Yeah. So I don't know. It's not one I feel strongly about, but it's one of the bigger games with a home underdog LSU. I went slightly that way. And I guess the only SEC game we haven't talked about, I know we talked about it Tuesday. We've seen like no movement on this game. I think in Vegas that you can still get a couple threes, mostly 2.5s. Missouri at Vandy. I kind of like Missouri here. I don't know if Vanderbilt's defensive backfield is the one thing I'm kind of worried about, and I feel like that's where you can take advantage of Missouri. I think I talked about it Tuesday. I think Prabula has been very good, but just has one or two bad throws per game, and I don't know if Vanderbilt's necessarily the defense to take advantage of it. So everyone is so high on Vanderbilt now; they're the story of the year. I've been on them a lot this year, so not taking anything away from them, but. I typically want to sell high. We haven't seen them favored in an SEC game and what was it, 55 games or whatever. Now they're favored 2 weeks in a row.
Unbelievable.
To me, against a good team. Missouri did not look good last week. It is a back-to-back road game, which is tough, but I got to feel like they were so sloppy last week that I would kind of figure they have a better performance here. I bet some Missouri money line and plus three at reduced juice.
I'm also liking your Oklahoma at 5.5 as long as it stays below six. I'm kind of liking that. The Indiana line's up to 25.5. Something tells me UCLA is going to get inside that 25.5. As bad as they looked early in the season, they are playing better football, and I just can't imagine Indiana beating anyone by 30 again. I think their heads are probably getting a little big. The South Florida Memphis line, I do like that over 60 that you played, now down at 57. So I'm glad I waited. That's going to be interesting to see how Memphis comes back after we had Alex Mortensen on the show. It was amazing because the coach from Memphis came out and said, listen, it wasn't our players, it wasn't our play style, it was our coaching. We got out coached. You got out coached by a first player guy, a guy that has never coached a football game in his life. So that should say a lot about the Memphis coaching staff. So I'm leaning a little bit on the over there. I'm liking my Cincinnati Bearcats. They're playing Baylor this weekend. They've only lost one game. They're at home. They're tough to beat at home. They're only giving up 7 points, and Baylor's 4-3 in the season. Not the season a lot of people thought they were going to have. And then I'm going to go with that. When it was this smelly fish, you can call it whatever, but I like Iowa State. I'm going to go to Ames. I'm going to say they're going to knock off BYU for the first time this season. BYU is 7-0. I don't think they're going to go unscathed, and I think this is a tight little fit for them. They're catching 2.5 at Iowa State. Iowa State's played a pretty decent schedule. They've got quality drive rate. They're 19th in the country. They actually are really good at moving the football. They're just not very good in the red zone. They don't score when they possibly should, but they do move the football quite a bit, and I think they'll be able to move the ball in that BYU, so a late game to check it out. And then since we have not talked about NFL, we'll go there right now. I'm not just saying this because I'm a Bengals fan, and I'm drinking the juice, the rat poison, but the line's down to 6. I don't know why people are putting money on the Jets, but I'll take Cincinnati at home. I've been there enough to know they play especially well at home in there at that ballpark. I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bengals minus the 6 with Joe Flacco as resurgence. The 41-year-old is back. Let's go to the National Football League. Kip, what you like?
I don't know. I kind of like Tampa Bay to bounce back. They were dreadful the other night in Detroit. With Detroit's, I think they called Southern Precision Staffing and hired some defensive backs for that game. Good job, Kai, because they did. Kai's reputation lived up to its billing, because those guys shut down the guy that everybody's talking about maybe being the MVP for the NFL. They're playing the Saints, who are abysmal. I got to think that Tampa gets back on track in that game. Let's see, who else did we have here? The Texans looked bad too in Seattle. I think they end up getting shut out. They go back home. I think they've got a good chance to get back. This is a team I was kind of high on going into the season, and I'm not very high on them now, but maybe they're going to make an appearance. And I also like Denver. The miraculous win against the Giants, who they obviously didn't take seriously and didn't play till the very end of the game. They're playing the Cowboys, and Case made a great point earlier. I guess it was last Friday that Dak Prescott statistically the most productive quarterback in the league, but they're going on the road now to Denver in the altitude and everything else. So that was just a couple of the ones that stood out for me, but I think Denver's only a 2.5 point favorite. I think the Cowboys might be getting a little bit too much love there.
Yeah, 3-3-1, the Cowboys. And that's one of those teams where I'd never bet the Cowboys. On paper, they always look good. Everyone loves to bet on the Cowboys. But for some reason, I get this feeling they're going to roll off 3 or 4 in a row. And I'm going to take them plus the 3.5 at the Broncos just because of Dak Prescott and the season he's having right now. He is throwing the football all over the place. And obviously, they put up 40 plus this past weekend. Kai, what you like in the National Football League for Sunday?
Like, the old Tyrod Taylor over the old Joe Flacco.
Oh boy.
This weekend,
battle
of who cares.
Yeah.
The only two teams that give a whole bunch of crap about that are people from New York and people from Cincinnati. And everybody else is like, God, please don't let that be the television game that we have to freaking watch. I'm still, some of these games, I disagree. I don't know why. I like New Orleans against Tampa Bay without Mike Evans. Some of the stuff going on there, I like New Orleans. I do like Houston to get a bounce back against San Francisco. I like Green Bay going into Pittsburgh to win that game, sitting on 3. I do think I'd be interested to see, the lines up to 12.5 Monday night. Washington without Jaden Daniels at Kansas City. There's some interesting things going on there. And I like Carolina. Catching 7.5 at home against Buffalo, the way Carolina has been playing to me, I just think they can stay within that number. And I've already hammered it. And y'all know I'm on the train with Indiana Jones, and we're flying. And I hate to bet against my Titans, but Indiana Jones minus the 14.
It's a big nut. Case, what you got?
I know people are probably sick that I'm always talking about this, but especially this week, I think it's a huge injury week. There's so many, and it's probably pretty typical or about the midpoint of the season, week 8, just so many of these teams. There's guys that aren't practicing, guys whose status is up in the air. So I think there'll be some movement today, especially once you get some practice report. It's like every game you guys mentioned. I mean, I've bet a lot of them already, of course, but I'm like, oh, I got to see what happens with this guy. I got to see what happens with this guy. It's a lot of guys that matter right now that are banged up. I will say this is the kind of week I hate because I show value on not every, but the vast majority of favorites. I'm mostly on NFL favorites this week, which makes me queasy, but I think a lot of these lines are too short. We'll see, especially last Sunday, I was on a lot of underdogs and had the worst Sunday. Luckily, I did well on all the primetime games to kind of save some face. But the Sunday early and more and afternoon games, I just got clobbered. Now I'm kind of jumping to the other side with on the vast majority of favorites. Yeah, one of the only underdogs I like, actually, of course, and you probably don't even take my word for this, but I'm Oppo Tony. I was part of the people. I just couldn't help myself. I bet some Jets plus 6.5. I just thought it was too high, but the Jets are terrible, and I've lost money on them 2 or 3 weeks in a row. Luckily, I had the right read going into the season. I have them most losses, which is looking pretty good right now. I think I bet against them the first 3 weeks, but really their underlying numbers are not that bad to where they should be winless. They're not so far removed from the rest of the
NFL. It's definitely an overreaction on the Cincinnati part. When I saw that line, I thought I'd be closer to 3.5 or 4. I was surprised to see it at 7. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I wish I had the manpower to stay away. So not a strong opinion. Just since I said I like mostly favorites. I mean, I'm looking now. It's like the next whole handful of games I would probably lean the favorite other than that one. The Houston San Francisco game is one of the injury ones I'd say to look out for, because I kind of agreed with you guys at first that thought this was a good spot for Houston to bounce back. But I mean, they've had like Nico Collins hasn't practiced all week. Christian Kirk hasn't practiced all week. They already had no one to throw to. If Nico Collins isn't playing, I might actually have to go on the other side and go on the 49ers. I just don't know who they turn to offensively. I mean, I guess it's going to be all Woody Marks, but 49ers are pretty good against the run too. So that's an example of like one of the injuries I'm definitely monitoring. Obviously the quarterback ones are big, although I think we have some pretty good information on all of them. Of course, Bryce Young not playing, Jaden Daniels not playing, but as far as the skill players, guys, I'm really going to look out for Nico Collins. And I'm already in on Philadelphia no matter what. I bet some -7. I still like that, but I'm going to feel a little bit more worried about it if AJ Brown doesn't play. He hasn't practiced this week either. That's another one I'm watching today.
Outside the gambling scandal that we've been talking about, the National Basketball Association, there is a way to make some money that way, and you can do it legally by using your man, or of course your app, or whatever you're going to be using there. K4wins.com. Anything jumping out to you guys in the National Basketball Association? Kip, I'll start with you going around the horn. I know that's, but we're all kind of, we can throw in some hockey as well here. There's so many different things to lay money on right now.
Yeah, you guys will probably banish me from the team, but I can't get into the NBA in October. I just can't do it. I'm just not interested yet. There's too much else going on. My plate's already, it's like you go to a buffet and you go through the line, you go, oh, I love this stuff. This is great. But then your plate gets so full. There's, I can maybe put a teaspoonful of NBA on my plate, but I'm just not into it yet. And it looks to me like it's been pretty unpredictable the first couple of nights of people forecasting. I know we talked about the Cavaliers against the Knicks of who was superior, and the Knicks go and blow them off the court in the first game. So I don't know what the final was, but they were up 20 in the third quarter. So anyway, I it's just too early for me. I'm going to leave that to you guys who are already delving into that, because admittedly I'm just, you know, I sent Kai a note the other day, check with me after the Super Bowl, I'll give you my NBA update.
Kai, what you liking?
For my son, it was great that Golden State has started off, you know, two games in a row with two wins. It was really horrific to watch last night and see how Denver just dominated inside the entire first half. Luckily, I played Golden State second half, and luckily Denver's coach was an idiot and decided, hey, let's try to shoot
with
Golden State. I mean, come on. Who goes and tries to have a three-point shooting contest with damn Steph Curry? I mean, good Lord. I think Steph had 40, you know, took up 40 shots. I don't know how many points he had last night. Golden State wins. And you always know if you have a short dog and it goes to overtime, you are absolutely going to lose. The other thing I love to do, and this is strictly a play that I've been doing for 5 years, is the biggest home dog in the NBA, you always take. You always take the biggest home dog, no matter what. Just like the other night, the Clippers are supposed to go into Utah and destroy them by all metrics, purposes, and all that. And they're a 9.5-point dog, and Utah wins by 20. I know it was game one. still. And the Celtics are reeling while they are, still have the injuries that they have. And I think you're going to see some cutback. The Celtics are going to come back down to earth from the last 2 years, in my opinion. But by far, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the record is right now. 2-0, 0-2, 1-1, whatever it may be. Oklahoma City is the best team in the NBA, and it's not even close.
All right, there you have it. Let's get into some Major League Baseball, shall we? Go ahead. You want to do some?
Right, he's got to respond to that.
I know. I'm waiting. Go.
I love the NBA.
Go. Let's do it.
I don't remember what word Kai used, but devastating or stupid. What I loved watching is I'm really high on Golden State this year. They might be the deepest team all of a sudden. They've got I think by Kevin Pelton's projection, they got 11 guys that are above average. They got banged up at the end of last year, and they still came out when they got Jimmy Butler, but I'm over on them on wins. I have them to win the division, and I'm kind of down on Denver. Just there's so much hype on Denver. I've heard people say that they're right there with Oklahoma City. I don't buy it. So of course I was on Golden State last night. Loved watching that game. I bet Golden State, pretty heavily futures wise. And I'm going to be looking to bet against Denver a lot. I hope Kai's trying to go quickly. I hope Kai's home dog theory works tonight, because I played three bets tonight I was going to give out. They've all moved my direction, luckily. So we'll see if it goes that way. But I liked Brooklyn plus 13 hosting Cleveland. I was a little concerned watching. I think the Cavs will be fine long term. And I actually bet them yesterday to win the NBA Cup if you want to get involved there. I might be the only person who absolutely loves the in-season tournament. They drifted out to 8-1 after losing the first game. I think they have an easy group. They're going to get Hunter and Garland are both close to coming back. But I think it was the rotations were a little clunky without those guys. So until they come back, I might be betting against them a little bit. I took Brooklyn plus 13 small. Two big bets I made tonight. Both have moved a lot in my direction, so I feel good, but I still think you can take them at the current numbers. I took Boston plus 5.5 at New York just because of that night one New York performance. I mean, Madison Square Garden was electric. I feel like they rode a lot of that energy. Karl Anthony Towns is banged up. He's even less questionable for this game. Maybe he plays, but I'm still not fully sold on the Knicks. I think I'll be betting against them a lot because people seem to think they might be the second best team in the league. I just can't get there. So I took Boston plus 5.5. And I took this goes with how high I am on the Warriors. I don't know if we talked about it. I think it was another show, but I said on opening night, I think I'm going to be betting whoever loses the Lakers Warriors games. There's going to be a huge overreaction. It's going to be, oh, this one team's great. Oh, the Lakers suck. I don't think the Lakers suck. I don't love their roster, but you look at what Luka's done with rosters like this year after year. He's always above 500. I'm a little bit down on Minnesota. I think they've had their depth go the other way. They lost Nikhil Alexander-Walker, went to the Hawks. I think they've only got 6 above average players. So I think this is a good spot for the Lakers. I took plus 3. You can still get plus 2. I make them a small favorite in this game. So Lakers, Celtics, and Nets are the three sides I bet tonight.
There you have it.
Let me ask you guys a question. This is how and I should be put in the corner. Who is the Knicks coach? I completely missed the hire.
Mike Brown.
Oh, Mike Brown. Well, yeah. Another recycle. Okay, that's good. Interesting. Yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you what, we could do a show every day next week and the week after that just on college basketball that's coming up as well.
Oh man.
Now, I'm like Case, I mean, I'm not a huge NBA fan, but I'm a NBA better because there are values there. It's not as fixed as the NFL. They even get the National Fixed League. And we have a friend that we always get his reactions that I know Kip loves. Every game he loses, it's obviously fixed. And every game that he wins is because it's as predicted and he's a genius. But college basketball this year, in my opinion, is going to be as hard to predict as any year that has gone forward with all the transfers. And of the top 10 teams right now, preseason, you have 7 teams that have 3 starters. 7 teams have 3 new starters, all transfers.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, the transfer portal is unbelievable. And I'm with you, too, on college hoops, man. I absolutely love college hoops. I cannot get here. As a matter of fact, I went down and saw the Blazers have an exhibition against Vanderbilt last night down at Bartow Arena just because I could not get enough. And, of course, UAB's got 12 new players on their team. You're like, wait a minute, don't they only have 12? Yes, they only have 12. 12 new faces on the team. Every guy is new for the UAB Blazers and Andy Kennedy.
Did Salim London get the play last night.
Yeah, this idea, as a matter of fact, and this may be one of those situations where if Andy can win 20 games with this crew, he is certainly worth the money they're going to spend. All right, let's go Major League Baseball because we got the World Series Game 1 going on later on tonight. What's the series price? What's the over-under? And who do we like in Game 1? Case, what you got in Las Vegas?
Yeah, I think I've seen the Dodgers settle in maybe like minus 260 favorite. The Blue Jays a little over 200. I'm trying to get the exact series price up right now. Yeah, minus 260 plus 220 at Circa on the Dodgers. Seems about right to me. Of course, I talked about it a lot, but I'm holding Dodgers futures. Even if I wasn't, I don't necessarily know if I'd be towing into the series price. Seems about right. The Blue Jays do scare me a little bit. They make contact just a lot. Their contract rate's really high. So you put the ball in play, who knows what'll happen. And as I've said a lot, they're really good defensively. So I think they have some good things. I just look at this Dodgers pitching staff is just so unbelievable. Sounds it's just hard to see see them cracking it. So I have not arbed it at all. I haven't taken the other side. I looked at some like Blue Jays +1.5 at the best price I could find is +115. I think I'd at least want +125. And I think the number's about right tonight. I didn't bet the side, but Snell, a pretty big favorite against Yesavage. I actually bet a little bit of over 7.5 even money. It looks like now it's moved a little bit my way. I just think Yesavage has been great, but I think he's got a lot of variance. I mean, he hasn't faced a lineup as good as the Dodgers. I know they're not hitting well right now, but they've had I know if they lose and don't play well, it'll be, oh, they had all this time off. They're out of rhythm. But it's going to be just the opposite. I don't necessarily think the time off hurts them. They've had time to prepare for Yesavage. All these teams have these crazy batting simulators now. They've gotten to go against his like high release point. They feel like a little bit better. And Snell, as much as I love Blake Snell and how he's pitching right now, I bet him to lead the series in strikeouts. I actually bet him a little bit World Series MVP at 20-1. He's still not a guy that give a long leash. I think he'll be like six innings at the most and out. And who knows if they're up, maybe they'll put someone else in. So I thought that the total number was a little bit low tonight. Nothing strong. Maybe if it wasn't even the World Series, I probably wouldn't even be betting it. But I did take a little over 7.5 tonight.
All right. Either one of you guys got anything on the series price? Kai, I know you love your Major League Baseball, too. What you got?
I would have to lean over 5.5 for the total games, even though I can absolutely see the Dodgers sweeping it. I love the first two matchups. Pitching wise for the Dodgers with Snell tonight and Yamamoto tomorrow. And Toronto has shown that they'll lose the first two games at home. They just did it, but then they go back on the road and maybe pick up one depending because the game 3 and 4 matchups are not 100% set. Obviously, I can't lay 260 with the Dodgers just because I can't lay 260 on anything. But I also can't come back and take Toronto +220 and feel good about my money unless I was trying to hedge and I had the Dodgers to win. Then maybe I could come back with a third or a fourth of a bet to see if I can get the money that way. Not that Case would ever hedge, but just a thought.
I hate that too. I hate that too because I love playing series prices for big series like this, like the World Series, and I can't drop 260 either. I mean, it just snake bites me every single time I get onto it. So, all right, anything else you guys want to get into before we let it rip? Big weekend of college ball. We'll get college hoops coming up next week. We've got a ton of stuff going on. K4wins.com, K4wins.com. Check it out and get after it on our website. And make sure you get all of our plays throughout the weekend. We'll get back up on Tuesday. Okay, guys?
Sounds good.
Thanks, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.